Good morning, everybody.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bookie for breakfast, back-to-back weeks.
I love it. I think we should record every Thursday morning.
Yeah, well, welcome in, everybody. Failcast, Bach and Bort Project, with the honorable Bookie for breakfast, Knut Oldry. I say let's just hop right into what the bookie has in store for us this morning.
Let's do it.
I have some coffee I need to drink anyway.
Let's do it.
Okay, gentlemen. We have what should be an exciting week ahead of us. I think last week's lineups probably lent themselves to a few more closer matchups, but I think there's still some great opportunities here. Just to get us started right off the bat with matchups, the bookie always likes to start with his own matchup. The computer is picking Chris by a pretty notable 17 points, which is less than Sleeper just because of how Chris's team has performed in recent weeks due to a lot of injuries, but it's projecting a rebound and he will triumph over me. no surprise on all the tanking teams. It has Brent over Jonathan by big. It has Jeremy over Pete by big.
Mm-hmm.
And a much narrower margin, but still has Dan P over Matt by a notable margin. So no real surprises there. On the Mark and Ben matchup, interestingly, the computer last night for almost 25 minutes had Mark favored by almost 325 points. So after some figuring, I had to figure out what in the world I was doing wrong. And I think what happened was I built in a clause. So if a team was willingly trying not to win, I put in a switch that I could flip. And I think that for whatever reason, I routed it to the wrong code for Mark's, and instead of multiplying by zero, it was multiplying and just essentially adding multiple zeros. Not sure what happened there, but big whoops, and we got it fixed. So now it's got Ben over Mark by a notable margin. So
much, much better. Much better.
Probably. Much more realistic prediction, yes.
So there probably is a... Sorry, not to interrupt, but there probably is a slim chance that there is a team at some point that could flirt with 250 to 300 points. I could see it. Like an absolute juggernaut.
Not this week because of some buys, but if ever Jeremy meets a team in one of the early weeks after a team has already decided to buy, I could see him beating a team by 250 points.
Well, I always love looking back at the weekly report and seeing the efficiency of, or like the potential lineup scores, where it's like so-and-so scored 86 points this week out of a potential of what could have been like 160. And it's like, okay, on the weeks where Jeremy scores 220 points, like, okay, how much could he have scored? Did he have a bench guy that went off or whatever? But yeah, 250 point margin of victory would be insane.
Yeah, that might all be right. Time to fold your hands and
yeah,
and
just say, you know what? I'll sell my team and just be done with it. Go ahead, Bookie. Sorry to interrupt.
No worries. So the computer picks Dan over Eli, which isn't necessarily a huge surprise, but only has him by 3 points, which is a little tighter. The total margin really doesn't matter. The difference between 3 and 5 in the computer's projection is mostly irrelevant. It's just a confidence pick that it's picking. So you might say that a 3-point margin might say that the computer thinks it's like 55-45 or something like that, which is a little tighter than what Sleeper picks, but still a noticeable margin. It's not a 0.5-point spread like we see in a lot of these closer games. And then finally, it has Sam over Josh. Again, not a huge surprise. Josh has even more buys, which add on to his quarterback woes. And I think it would be a bit of a stretch, barring another Aaron Rodgers total collapse, but I don't see that happening this week.
What about how'd the computer do last week?
6-1 on picks, which is
wow.
Was the
good,
one,
but only 4-3 on top half victory picks. It picked incorrectly in the Dan v Dan matchup.
Interesting.
That makes sense, right? I mean, Dan is a top team, right. And his team underperformed.
It took DFT instead of Minnesota Dan.
Yeah, the computer really loves Dank's team. It just has from the start, which, I mean, don't we all? So, no, it picked him, and it was a tight-ish spread, but still that was a pretty big whiff on the computer's part. And that happens, you know. I mean, the beauty of this game is that nobody really has any idea, and it's not a crystal ball, it's just a code. So
mm-hmm. Pete,
so, but 6-1, no, but overall, only 6-1 on just on head to head matchups, but only 4-3 with the top half victory points.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Is,
okay.
You know, that we're keeping really close then to that just slightly above 500. That moves us to 20. That would be what? 26-23 on all okay. time just top half picks. And, you know, I think it's probably going to finish this season probably 3-5 games above 500, realistically, because it seems like each week it's 1-2 games above or below 500, and it just keeps bouncing back and forth. So I don't think it's ever going to be a week where the top half picks go to like 6-1, but I don't think there's going to be a week either where it's 1-6.
Yeah. No, I don't foresee that either. But I could see if more teams decide to strategically restructure their roster and joining Commission Eye, I could definitely see where the computer would make, I mean, obviously that makes the computer's job way easier. It does its job it. So if we see some governors decide to do that, definitely could see that that overall record by the end of the year jump up quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Not the overall record, but the VP, the top half VP, top seven.
Yeah, our first league year, when I was just meddling with this, and that was much more of, I would just adjust sleeper projections. It wasn't near as, you know, involved as it's become, but
right.
when almost a third of the league was actively not trying to win games, it, in an interesting way, it became harder to pick who was going to win than it was to pick top halves, because top halves are a lot easier, where this year, yeah. I think, it's been easier to pick top half wins, but harder to pick, you know, the other side. So we're 30, yeah. I think we're 37-12, if my memory serves me correctly, on all time picks this year, which,
okay.
you know, I'm happy with.
Yeah, absolutely. This is great. Okay.
But
I feel like
that's good. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what else do you have for us? Is there any other things regarding bookie content that you want to dive into while we still have you this morning?
Yeah, just a quick go into top half victory points to run through them. Again, this week is fairly chalky again. It's similar to last week where it's picking all winners and then just swapping one matchup out. Mm-hmm. So it has Chris, Bort, Ben, Dank, Jeremy, both of my JW sometimes confuse me, Sam, and then it's picking Eli to outscore the winner of the Matt and Dan P matchup, which I think most of us would agree is a pretty realistic projection.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Eli overall, definitely is an underdog against DFT, but for sure I would slate him. Although, Knute, who do you have on by?
For me this week?
Yeah, who's on by for your team? Because I think you could potentially get up to that 130 mark, depending on how your team plays.
But I also.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty spoiled this week. I really don't have a lot of high profile buys. The thing that'll really decide, I think, my team's success will be whether Jameis Winston plays or Andy Dalton plays, and then
right.
whether or not either of those two play well. I mean, they're my true wild card. The rest of my guys. Yeah, sure. They're very variable about who's going to score what, but you know,
they are set in stone.
A little
like you're going to trot out London every week and Boyd and Olave every week.
Knute literally as we're talking just put Andy Dalton into his lineup, which is smart cuz little insider info. I got a notification in Sleeper that said Jameis Winston is healthy, but Andy Dalton is the starter.
Ooh!
I just got the same notification. So
dun, got dun, Andy dun. Dalton in there.
Whoa!
Yeah, Chris does not have a super flex. He's got Tyler Allgeier in there, and he has Latavius Murray in his lineup, and Garrett Wilson. Which none of those players, I don't foresee any of them scoring double digits. So I feel like this could be a lot closer than what we think, depending on what Lamar Jackson, Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp. Mark Andrews and Amari Cooper and DeAndre Swift do. I think all of those players could obviously score a crap ton of points. But I think Leonard Fournette has put up some monster numbers. You know, last week only 3 points, but I mean, there's weeks where he's put up 30. You know, and then also, you know, Mariota goes up against Carolina, which Carolina has a pretty decent defense. But then, you know, Higbee, Olave, Boyd, you never know what they're going to do. And then Curtis Samuel, I mean, he's been fairly consistent, you know, scoring double digits every week for the most part. So, I mean, I think Canute's got a shot. You know, Chris might be on upset watch this week.
Well, and I said in the chat, you know, if I beat him, this is going to be my Super Bowl. I'm fully ready to be in a knack, just a ridiculous sore winner. I mean, I will be completely incorrigible, and you won't want to be around me.
Kind of like,
you know, the other thing,
like
too,
I was after I almost scored 200 points. And Pete said he doesn't know if he wants to root for me anymore.
Yes, exactly like that.
I'm unsure.
You know, Mark Andrews didn't practice yesterday or the day before. So they play a Thursday night game. I mean, they're playing tonight. I think there's a good chance that even if he suits up, he does what he did last week again, where he just looks off, you know, and only to have one reception or two receptions in the whole game. A very non-typical game for Mark Andrews, but clearly something's not going well there. But I think he's still one of those players that's never missed a game. So
yeah,
I don't see him starting now. But
and what's crazy to me, because I just pulled this up. So if for some reason Chris were to lose this week and Dan P goes up against Matt, they both have 13 victory points. So if Chris loses to Canute and Dan P beats Matt, heading into week 9, Chris could be out of the playoffs.
Spicy.
Which is crazy, because then heading into week 9, you know, we've only got 3 weeks left. We got a few more weeks. I forget. We had it a couple weeks. We only got, three or four more weeks left of, like, true head-to-head matchups. And then that fourth week, the third week, 3 weeks of true head-to-head, the fourth week is then, you know, top 7 scorers. So, yeah, it's crazy because Chris, I think I was looking back, and I think he won it like 2 weeks in a row. He had like 190 twice. So it's just odd. It's really weird to see his team like fighting to score over 100 points, especially with the firepower that he has on that team. It's just, it's blowing my mind. Honestly, I'm like, what is going on? But I mean, Jonathan Taylor, since he traded for him, has been hurt and just has not been
tough.
What Chris was trading for, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's kind of an interesting management strategy too. And we've seen this with a couple different operators of teams in our league. Chris doesn't have a very deep bench. You know, I mean,
he kicked our ass 2 years in a row without a bench.
To be true. Right. And now those instances where his startup guys, mostly due to just, I mean, the DeAndre Swift saga has been fascinating to me. The will he, won't he play of his whole career is so interesting. But, I mean, as these guys take weeks off, having to start guys like Latavius Murray or, you know, last week I think I saw that Foster Moreau, I don't know, was in there. I mean, that's a sign that, I don't know, I mean, is my ceiling a lot lower? Yeah, absolutely. I think the max I'm going to score in any given week is maybe 140 points. But I haven't had a week this year under 100 either because of that reason. I mean, you got to be ready to set your floor high and then give a team a scare. So we'll see. I don't know.
But okay,
I mean,
hold on. Is 100 points a high floor for a team?
I would say
it is for
yes.
A bad team.
I would say in our league, a floor of 100 is pretty good. I mean.
No, it's not.
A floor?
Pretty
a
good.
A floor?
A floor of 100 points. So guaranteed you're going to score 100 points every week.
This week we had two teams that won with 102.
okay, granted, last week I would say, and I think Chris pointed it out in Discord, is that that is definite. That feels like an anomaly.
Well, yes, but
the other thing week, to remember week too, prior, is I was reading maybe 100 ESPN. Points,
yeah.
I mean, a floor of 100.
I was reading on ESPN, total fantasy points for the year is down almost 28%. Just, I mean, defenses are catching up. Mm-hmm. I mean, and a part of it is we're off to a slower start. And with the exception of the Buffalo Bills, every team in the NFL, except for, you guessed it, this year's Jaguars, is down on yards per, or excuse me, on points per drive. So I think part of it is that,
to me, is Trevor Lawrence hype.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't gotten any worse. Congratulations, buddy.
Dude, QB9, suck my
hey,
suck my finger, hey. Dude.
We're still PG. Come on.
This is a family podcast.
Sorry.
Oh, shoot. That's good. Good stuff. Cool. Well, while we still got you real quick, one more thing, too, I think we always like to talk to Knut about is trade reactions. And we had two, and one of them was ours. So first off, let's talk about the Dan and Kamish trade. Dan gave up Isaiah Spiller. He also gave his firsts in both 23 and 24. And in return, he got Joe Mixon and $75 fob. Knut, how do you feel about that trade?
You know, if you'd have asked me about this trade 6 months ago, I'd have told you that Dan was out of his mind, was crazy. What are you doing? But, you know, I think the Isaiah Spiller hype has kind of slowed. And I think Joe Mixon has proved that having a bell cow running back that can just do what you need him to do week in, week out, over and over again is really valuable. So, you know, for a guy who really, truly wants to contend, like Dan, I think having a piece like Mixon on his roster is a must-have. And Barkley's a great guy, but I think Dan knows full well that his knees are made of glass, and glass can shatter very easily. So to continue to compete at the level that he wants to compete at, he needed a guy like Mixon. And are two firsts and Isaiah Spiller a lot for Joe Mixon? Yeah, probably. They're more than I would have paid. I mean, I sent an offer with one first. But on the other hand, too, it's all situational. Like we're going to get to with the trade later, you got to do what you got to do to get your guys. And if you need a position to make sure you can contend, then you got to spend whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's obviously an overpay, but Kamish knew that he was going to get someone to do an overpay, especially if they were trying to contend. I didn't feel comfortable giving two first-round picks for Mixon, but I guess we'll see. We'll see how it pays off. I mean, the Bengals, their offense is starting to click again. So how does that pay off for Joe Mixon? I mean, could be high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
And Mixon's 26, so he's not like
he's not old.
It's not like he's 28 or
he's got like 3 years left on his deal.
Like you wouldn't trade two. I'm not actually so mad at the two firsts for Mixon. I'm just glad that DFT got someone like Mixon, who has scored double digits since week four. He's starting to find the end zone. He's somewhat viable in the passing game. He at least gets targets each game, which is good to see. I mean, DFT is. He's trying to win, and he's getting up all the pieces he thinks he can he needs to do it. So, right now, starting lineup looks like Jalen Hurts, Saquon, Stephon Diggs, Goddard, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Amon-Ra, Wandale Robinson, and then Tom Brady. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, Wandale just got hurt last week, so we'll see if he's going to be able to play. But yeah, I mean, he looked.
I'll trade you Kadarius Toney for Wandale DFT.
He looked pretty good.
I'll trade you Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, there we go.
Cool. Well,
what led to the Jimmy G Andy Dalton plus trade?
You know, I want to read you every message verbatim. Give me a second.
Because this will be interesting.
This is a
when was the I'm first time it. I reached out to you about him, Knut? Try and find that one. The actual trade process. Was super quick. I messaged him and I sent a sleeper offer with it. I think we have the deal done in like 5 minutes.
Okay, so first off, here we go. Ready? 7/22/2021. So over a year ago, asking price on Jimmy G. 8/21/2021. Where are you on Jimmy G?
This is
10/26/2021. Interest in adding another QB in Jimmy G. 1/25/2022. Jimmy plus Fournette could both be on the bench warmers next year. Trade me Jimmy G. There's the classic Brent talk them down.
Yep.
3/15/22, maybe Jimmy. 3/15/22, later in the day, Jimmy G is titillating. 3/15/2022, Jimmy right now.
This is amazing.
3/30/2022.
This is from you to
yes.
you?
Yes, these are incoming. 3/30/2022, could I give you two players for Jimmy? 6/3/2022, Jimmy? 7/7/2022, any interest in trading Jimmy? 8/11/2022, trade me Jimmy. 8/14/2022, let's talk Jimmy. 9/20/2022, I'll give you a first for Jimmy. 8/13/2022, send Jimmy my way. 8/10/23/2022, okay, trade me Jimmy. And finally, 10/23/2022, I feel like we've talked about Jimmy for months.
This is amazing. Find someone who wants you as badly as Bort wanted Jimmy.
Top segment in fail history right there.
That was beautiful. I'm really glad that you could find that. That was really funny for me to listen back to.
Oh, that's so good. My stomach hurts.
But yeah, so all
of
that
talking. Let me read you the actual trade. Yeah. Because I think the trade might be even funnier. So this is at 8:40 p.m. on October 23rd. Okay, trade me Jimmy. So I respond, one of these days you will either learn to ask in the form of a question or say please. And then he says, okay, will you please give me your price on James Granola? So I said, first and Andy Dalton. He counters with my 24 first and Andy. And I said, the lesser of your 23 first and Andy. I'll let you pick which one. He said, I'm all in, sent in sleeper. That's it. That was the trade.
All right. There we go.
I'm all in.
He's all in, boys.
So, Bort, you sent your first and Dalton for Jimmy.
I sent Sam's first.
Sam's first. Okay. All right. Sam right now is in fourth place. You're in third place. You think Sam finishes ahead of you, or you just want to be able to have your pick?
I thought keeping my pick was valuable. I mean, like I said, we still got five weeks left in the season. You know, what happens if, you know, someone gets hurt on my team and I immediately fall out of the playoffs and Sam's still there? You know, same thing could happen to him, but I can kind of control my own pick is kind of what my thought process was in giving that one up instead.
Yeah, makes sense.
If the trade works out and I win, I mean, yeah, then Sam's pick was better. I don't foresee myself winning, but I wanted to position myself to at least give myself an opportunity to win.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Now you have a guaranteed starter in a high-powered offense. That, granted, is limited by the quarterback, I'll say. But I like Jimmy more than Ryan, more than Tannehill, absolutely. And Baker's hurt and not even
and
starting.
And I like
so.
Jimmy more than Andy Dalton. I didn't trust that Andy Dalton would be able to finish out the year with Jameis there. I mean, he has another game with three interceptions. I don't think that the Saints can tolerate that. Jameis could do the same thing, but I think he's proven to be a little bit more efficient this year than that. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Who knows?
You know, but the other thing, Bort, too, about your team, you know, you speak down on it to a certain extent, but the thing to remember is, you're going to be pretty heavily favored in three of your remaining five matchups. You know, I mean, you've got on your schedule left, just quick looking, it looks like you've got Jonathan, obviously, Mark, and Matt. I would say those are you'll be heavy favorites. And you get to meet a Chris team when Lamar Jackson is on bye. Now, you also have both Chase and Burrow on bye, but you get to trust out your new toy in Jimmy Garoppolo with your best friend Ryan Tannehill, and who knows? I mean, and you get to see a DFT team who's got his pretty much his full strength. So I think there's a realistic chance, you know, you could finish the year just with a regular record of like, you know, what would that be, 9-3? 9-4. I mean, that's a pretty strong. You'll be in bye contention. Not to get you all excited, but just make sure that you keep your top half victory points every week. And
I need to remember. I can't like last year. I overthought everything and was putting in players, and then my players were scoring more on the bench. And so that's one thing I needed to really focus on was okay. I needed to just start the people who are my studs and not overthink it.
Bort was trotting out. I could pull up the fail stats sheet, but you were trotting out like an optimal lineup of like 86% or like 83%, something kind of like in the lower half of the league, despite the fact that you were a playoff
last
team.
Year.
Or, yeah, last year
I thought it was closer to like 50 or 60.
Yeah, he was the worst contending team by optimization
by far,
quite a bit.
Yeah,
by almost
yeah.
10%.
Large margin.
Yeah, by. That was crazy. I'm going to pull it up.
I mean, what was crazy was that.
Yeah, I do remember
I thought
that.
This week, I didn't realize Sleeper did that. They put your optimization out there. I didn't realize I still only scored 80% of my optimal lineup this week. My optimal lineup was like 233 points, and I only scored 190.
I only scored 190 points.
No, I thought that. I thought my optimal lineup would have. That's not what I was saying.
All right, sure. Anyway.
Well, boys, I think I should probably go pretend to get to work, but this was a fun day.
All right.
Perfect.
All right. Bookie, thanks for hopping on.
Always great having you on.
We'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Yes.
Adios.
See ya, boys.
I love having him on here to get that
nothing
extra,
better.
You know. He just gives the extra juice in the morning. I love it.
Nothing better.
Nothing better than Bookie for breakfast.
So that kind of is than Bookie for breakfast. Okay, so that's segment one and two. Or unless you have more thoughts on either of these trades.
I kind of want to hear your thoughts on mine and Knut trade. I want you to be honest. How does it like how who won? Who, you know, is there a winner? Is there a loser? I'd like to hear on both of those. I know you kind of mentioned about Mixon, but I kind of want to hear your full thoughts on like who you feel won and lost, if there was a loser on any of those trades.
I actually am not. I'm probably right in the middle as far as Jimmy G and what he can be for a fantasy team the rest of the year. Not even to mention going into next year, like who nobody knows what that's going to look like. But this year, with the weapons that they have acquired, CMC in particular, but not to mention the weapons they already had in Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, even Wilson to an extent. I like it for you because like we mentioned, your quarterbacks that were in your Superflex, Tannehill and Baker, are not getting it done. Tannehill was at his peak a, like you had mentioned it to me off the podcast, that he is a touchdown dependent quarterback. And so I like Jimmy more, especially this year. Now I think they're probably going to run the ball or filter it through McCaffrey quite a bit. So maybe it limits Jimmy's scoring upside, but I think he'll have a pretty decent floor for the rest of the year for you. But dude, I mean, if Knut keeps your pick and your pick, let's say is pick 11 or pick 12, and he grabs a stud or hits on a late quarterback pick, Knut's going to win. But right now I would take your side, of that deal.
That's what I was going back and forth on is the future of Jimmy at quarterback. But what I think I can, what I'm hoping for is that if he does prove to be that quarterback that can lead a team to the playoffs, you know, if he's got a good surrounding cast, if he could take this 49ers team to the playoffs beyond, if he can go back to the Super Bowl, I mean, the NFC is weak. The NFC is very weak. So if he could take a team to the Super Bowl again and play well, you know, maybe not necessarily win. I think the AFC is going to win this year no matter who goes. I think that he's got the opportunity. He's a free agent could he go to a team like Seattle? Could he go to, you know, a team like, you know, the Panthers? I think that they're probably going to draft a quarterback this year, obviously. But is it, do they want to wait a year on the rookie, you know, similar to what the 49ers did? Could he go to one of these teams and, you know, be a viable starter, you know, be kind of this quarterback that kind of, you know, is a good leader? I don't know. Probably not. But like you said, if a quarterback goes right before I'm supposed to pick one, that's really going to hurt, I think, you know. But I need to figure out, you know, what I need in the draft anyways. I feel like quarterback is probably my number one priority going into it, but
come get 101, you can get a quarterback.
I don't think I can give up what you need for that pick.
Oh, yes you can. It's called Jamar Chase.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I don't want to do. Oh shoot. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you. I know it's always good to hear, because, like, you know, people are like, you know, they look at the trade and, like, they're like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. I'm curious to know what people actually think about some of these trades. So awesome.
Because this first could also I view it as Jimmy G for the first. Who gives, like, Andy Dalton is nothing
that's,
to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but again, I'm not contending or I'm not trying to win. I should even say it more generally. I'm not trying to score points. Right. So Canute, I mean, I'm sure there's value, especially having Jameis too. You have the New Orleans offense, or like quarterback and wide receiver.
That's the other thing.
Regardless of who's out there, so that's nice. But he loses out on his.
What's crazy is that Jimmy could even go to like a team like the Saints. I don't think Andy Dalton or Jameis are contracted beyond this year. So, you know, could they? Look and be like, oh, well, hey, they're going to cut Jimmy loose. Like, we don't have to give up a trade pick for him. I think that's what most teams were concerned with, is I don't want to give up a trade pick for a guy who's owed $27 million. Well, then they restructured his contract and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So now I feel like it could be more lucrative for a team to bring Jimmy in to start, especially if they've got a good the Saints offense with Olave, Michael Thomas, and depends on if Jarvis comes back for another year, but then they got Alvin Kamara. Like, that's a team that could really benefit from having a very basic quarterback like Jimmy. Like you said, he's not that game-winning quarterback, mm-hmm. but he's more of a consistency, and that's what I was looking for, and that's what I needed. I tried going to get some big-name guys. I tried going to get Kyler. He wouldn't take anything that I was giving for him. So, he probably would have taken Jamar Chase for him. But again, it was like pieces that I didn't necessarily want to sell. I was trying to give him draft picks, but he didn't want that. So, you know, I had to go with what was there, and it was consistency, and that's what I need. I mean, my team has shown what it can do without a quarterback. So I'm like, if I could get an additional 15 points from a consistent quarterback, like, I'll take it at this point. But the playoffs, I mean, Jeremy, Dank, Sam, I mean, even still Chris, like, even like I said, even if Chris were to get like knocked out of the playoffs for a week, I still am so afraid. He's so afraid of his team. Like, legitimately.
Dude, you do not want to run. Chris can and probably will. If the league continues, Chris is the buzzsaw with which every team runs through this
playoff. Well, yeah, I mean, it's still Jeremy. I mean, Jeremy's still there. I feel like,
but if the league continues, we will look back and say, oh, yep, it's probably because of Chris's team.
I mean, that could be.
Like you mentioned, with the firepower that's like Lamar and Mahomes, those guys can be quarterback one and two for the rest of the year, and nobody would question.
Yeah, I think that the toughest part for me on that is, what does Chris have for depth beyond this year? I'm trying to pull up his team real quick, because like, does he have draft picks? I mean, he doesn't have, the only thing he's got are 2 fourths and a fifth this year. Granted, 24, he's got a first, a second, and a third. But what's he going to be able to add this offseason to make his team better? Because I still feel like Jeremy has the depth piece on everybody. He's got an amazing, powerful team, but then he's got the depth for when his team, when his players have bye weeks.
So here are a couple things that if I'm Chris, I'm probably looking forward to next year as far as his team. DeAndre Swift having another year with Dan Campbell and hopefully better quarterback play in the form of either a free agent or a one that they grab in the draft. Amari Cooper with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. And then Garrett Wilson hoping to have another step either later this year or even next year with Zach Wilson again. Those are the things that I'm probably looking for internal improvement rather than needing to go out and
keeping Swift healthy, man. I mean,
yeah, you can't control that.
No, but, you can't control that. But that's what I'm saying.
What you don't want to do is he
needs DeAndre Swift to stay healthy. Because when he's healthy, man, I feel like he's an RB1.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But then you still have Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor, Mark Andrews, Lamar.
I know, Mahomes. Yeah, right. So cool. Well, let's do a quick Week 7 recap. Winners this week: Brent, Canute, Eli, Chris, Minnesota Dan, Jeremy, and Josh. Which then means the losers were Ben, Jonathan, Mark, Pete, Dank, Sam, and Matt. Wow, that's actually 1, 2, 3 playoff potential hopefuls all lost this week. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you got Canute.
Sam did go up against Jeremy.
Right. Yes. And Ben went up against me. But I think the biggest surprise for me was the Minnesota Dan Dank matchup. That was But yeah, so with that, what's the playoff update looking like, Pete?
Playoff update is as follows, top to bottom. Jeremy with 19 victory points, 1,100 points scored. DFT second alone, not tied for second, second by himself with 17 victory points. Brent and Sam tied for third with 16 each. Chris all alone in fourth. Actually,
Technically not
from a victory point standpoint. He and Minnesota Dan both have 13 victory points. However, Chris has 200 more points than him. Or
194
points.
Yeah.
194 points more than him. But Eli has more points than Minnesota Dan, despite only having 9 victory points. So we should probably... I hate reading this on podcast because it gets confusing because I'm looking at it, so it makes sense to me. But I just as a listener, when I listen back, I'm like, yeah, this is way too confusing. But so Chris is in fifth with 13. Eli's in sixth with 9. Then Minnesota Dan with 13 out of the playoffs. Matt with 10 out of the playoffs because he has less points than Eli. Ben with 9 behind Eli only by. 11 points?
20.
Or no, 19 points. Okay. Ben's behind Eli by 21 points with 9 victory points. Canute with 8, tied with Mark, who also has 8. However, Mark's team is not going to move up the rankings from here.
No.
He's trotting out a lineup that's going to get 54 points. Unless he plays me or Jonathan, Mark will stay in fourth.
And at most he would only gain 2 points.
Yes, exactly. He's never going to be top 7 in scoring. Josh is in third to last with 7, then Jonathan with 2, and then myself with 0. I still haven't cracked the 100-point mark yet for the whole season, so...
I don't think you will.
I'm at 82 points. I probably won't. I'm scoring like 3 points a week.
Yeah. I think in year 1, I don't think Chris scored 100 points either.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he or Ben did.
No, I don't think so either.
So that's the play. That's how the playoffs are. Playoff teams: Jeremy, DFT, Brent, Sam, Chris, Eli. Right now, Dan P making a push. Ben's gonna make a push. I feel it. Canute could too, but Yeah, it feels like it's a three-team race.
Four.
3-4-team race for the last playoff spot. Oh,
for the last playoff spot. Yeah.
For the last playoff spot. Eli at 8:30. This is just points. Eli with 8:30. Minnesota Dan with 8:09. Ben also with 8:09. Canute with 7:88. Josh with 7:76. But that's where that is right now. And then Mark at 700 even. Like we said, he's not gonna be close. Jonathan with 147, me with 82. You've broken our segment four into two different parts, the who cares and then the look out for as far as matchups. You wanna give us a breakdown?
Yeah. I know we kind of went over this with Bookie. I was just like previewing it myself, and like there's four matchups that are like, who cares? I think we already know who's gonna win. That's me versus Kamish, Ben versus Mark, Jeremy versus you, and Sam versus Josh, I think. Yes, Josh was top seven this week, but I don't think his team can sustain that.
I don't think so.
And then the lookout for Eli versus Dank. Dank could be on upset watch, I think. Eli's team, I mean, it's been either 160 or 100 points. It's been super, super interesting. Yeah. And then I think that the Chris versus Canute, again, this is an upset watch. You know, can Chris's team play better than what they've been? I mean, hopefully for his sake. It's so crazy to see he's the number two scorer, but he's in the last victory points playoff spot. And actually, you know what? I was just thinking about this. Even if he did lose this week to Canute, he would still be in the last playoff spot with points. He would push Eli out.
Oh, really?
He would push Eli out. He's got like 200 more points than, well, Eli only has 830 and he has over 1,000 points.
Oh,
so Eli would get knocked out, actually. Yeah. So, sorry for that mistake earlier, but he would still be in the playoffs after this week, even if he did take an L to Canute. And then the Minnesota Dan versus Matt, I feel like this could also be a fairly decent matchup. I think Canute said that Minnesota Dan was favored still by like 18 or so points or something like that, according to his thing. So that could still be an interesting one. You never know what Matt's team. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to recant this because I totally forgot the Chiefs were on bye. So he does not have Travis Kelce this week. So I'm actually going to move that one to the who cares segment. The only two matchups to look out for this week are the Eli and Dank and Chris and Canute. Those are really the only two matchups I have my eye on this week. So,
what a fun league we're a part of.
Well, you know, it is still like not all of the teams are tanking. Josh is not tanking. Pete, Mark, and Jonathan, you're all tanking. I don't know if Mark is like actively tanking.
Mark's tanking for no reason.
He doesn't
even
have his own pick, and he got absolutely nothing for all of his players. So,
Mark's going to be bad for a while.
If you own any of Mark's picks, congratulations.
Thank
you. So yeah, with that leads us to segment five, Discord recap. Pete, you pretty much put this together, so why don't you kind of take it away?
All right. Did you see? Okay, in Science is Cool earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. Did you see the video of the lady who got bit by the snake and it like wrapped around her whole?
I saw that, and it like. It got her wrist because then after the snake, it started wrapping around her leg and like the blood was just like squirting out of her arm. It was insane.
Yeah, bro.
So if you're in the league, you haven't seen that video, if you don't like blood, I highly recommend not watching it. But she was way too casual for having a python wrapping around her arm and leg.
Yeah, dude.
Like, could you imagine if that guy would not have been there?
No, she's dead.
Probably.
Like, that snake actually
and
kills
probably
her.
Eat her.
Probably.
But, like, those snakes can, like, break their jaw and, like, eat an entire animal.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll fit an entire deer into their
body. And that woman, her body is not shaped like it's. A human body is shaped easier for a snake to eat than a freaking deer, I feel like.
I would. I mean, probably.
Anyways.
But anyway, that was a crazy video. I don't even know who posted Mark. That. I think it was yeah. Mark or DFT.
I think it was Mark.
Let me check. It wasn't that long ago.
But yeah.
Yeah, Mark posted it. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. What would be more terrifying, that or a bear attack?
Yeah, we've had those like back-to-back weeks. Well, and apart from that video that Mark shared, I saw that there were two wrestlers that were actually attacked by a bear. And one of the wrestler what? Friends like ran after the bear and like started like punching it in the face. And like half of his face was like ripped off by this bear, because he was helping his friend, and his friend looked like not a scratch on him, and the guy that actually like tried helping his friend was just like mauled. It was insane.
Oh my gosh,
that's I crazy. Think I would probably rather be attacked by a bear because I feel like. It's probably going to kill me a lot faster. Like they're probably going to knock me out, kill me. Whereas like I'm going to die slowly and agonizing with a snake slowly sucking the air out of me.
Oh yeah. That's like for me, it's I don't want either of
this
those.
Is why I don't go in the myself wild. In
a situation where either is likely. Yeah. I mean, I do like I've camped in like grizzly country for sure, but I don't know. Yeah, snakes are like a totally different wild thing to me. Like bears make sense; they look like something that should be alive. Like a snake is just kind of insane the way it can move and like how strong it is, how strong those like reptiles are,
and how venomous they can be. I was actually
For sure kill you on like basically kill you on like
I was bite. Listening to and kind of watching a few clips from the Mike Posner. He was on a podcast and I don't know if you remember was walking across the United States. Do you remember that? So he started in the Atlantic in like New Jersey.
I do.
And he walked all the way through. He got to Colorado and he said all of a sudden he was he just had this like sharp pain in his foot. And then he goes, I heard the exact thing I didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden he just heard, it was a rattlesnake.
No,
a rattlesnake bit him. But he said, luckily, he posted and he would like go on live while he was doing this sometimes. And he was like, if anybody wants to come walk with me while I'm in your state, you can't. And he had a fan walking with him. So this fan was able to like call 911 and he was like, I was like, I didn't realize like how fast a rattlesnake could kill you. But they were like, I have an ambulance coming from here.
I have
an ambulance coming from there
minutes.
And I have a helicopter coming for you. Like whichever one gets there first, get in. And I was like, oh my God, could you imagine? And then he like couldn't walk and he was in the hospital for like 2 months. Or something crazy like that. And he had to make the decision. Do I want to go back and finish? And he went back. He went back to where he got bit, started from there, and walked all the way to California. I would have just wrapped it up. I'd have been like, so, I made it to Colorado.
I mean, close enough. I've switched two time zones on foot. I'm okay.
Yeah.
It says that most deaths occur between 6 and 48 hours after the bite. If antivenom treatment is given within 2 hours of the bite, the probability of recovery is greater than 99%.
What is the probability after 2 hours?
I think that – I don't know.
I think that would be – that's probably the reason why they were
rushed. This is from Wikipedia. Right. That 2 hours is probably a pretty important threshold they've determined as far as getting antivenom – to the person who got it. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
But yeah, if you
I have a buddy who lives in Colorado. He sees lots of bull snakes, but those are like not a big deal. Those aren't venomous or anything. But he's like, yeah, you hear rattlesnakes before you see them, which is scary. So it's like
I think that
I don't know. He's like, yep, I don't mess with
the scariest part about that. Yeah, you hear them before you see them. But if you can't pinpoint exactly where the rattle came from, I feel like that would just be scary.
Dude, then it's like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't want to move, but I also feel like I'd need to move. Oh yeah, no, that'd be horrible. There were a couple side bets that you are involved in. Last week you and I put the over under for total Vikings wins on the year at 11.5. You're taking the over and I'm taking the under. Are you still confident coming out of the bye week?
I am. I feel like we go up against, I was a little bit more confident watching this Cardinals team because I was like, they're not really looking that good. Now they got D-Hop back. Does make me a little more nervous. But a stat that kind of like eases those nerves is in the last 10 matchups, Cardinals are 0-10 coming to Minnesota. So, I mean, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I always hate those old stats. But for some reason, they're still still relevant. I feel like I'm like it's a new regime, it's new this, it's new that. But for some reason, man, those like why are they 0-10? Like they obviously went up against a few regimes in that time. But I remember one of them was like the 23-point comeback by Favre in the dome. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh yeah,
in like the fourth quarter or something like that.
That was 2011, wasn't it?
No, it was like 2010.
No,
it was the season
did
that
was 2009. Okay, no, it was 2010 because that was the year that we didn't do well and he got knocked out later in the year. I believe it was 2010 that the Vikings beat the Cardinals.
Oh, I thought it was the year that we were like
we didn't play him in 2009. Oh,
okay. Yeah, then it was 2010.
No, it was
okay. So yeah, we beat them at home multiple times. I still feel like their defense is not that good, and we've got a pretty good offense. So
no.
They've got a good offense. I feel like they could shred us up. But what I've really noticed and what I've paid more attention to is Kyler getting the ball out of the pocket. If you keep him in the pocket, they knock down a lot of balls. Knock down a lot of balls from him.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's one thing that teams have been keying in on. So if we can do that, if we can keep him contained, I think that's the key to victory is keeping Kyler contained. You know, Nuke is going to get his as always. I still feel like, but I feel like containing them, you're not going to stop them, but as long as you slow them down, the old football adage, I feel like if they can do that, Vikings have a good chance. So after that, they play Washington. Yeah. I feel like we could easily win the next two games. That puts us at, what are we now? 7-1. Six and one?
We would be 7-1. We're 5-1 now. We would be 7-1.
Yeah, so it'd be 7-1 out of 8 games. That leaves 9 games left. I don't think that they're going to lose a majority of those 9 games. Especially with the Bears, it looks like they're already being sellers. I feel like that's a dub. We play the Lions in there. That's a dub. So 9 wins. I don't think that they're going to go 3-6.
You don't think the Lions game in Detroit is going to be close?
I do not.
Really? Nope. I'll put a separate Canes bet on there. Once the line comes out, I'll put a separate Canes bet.
Yeah, depending on what the line is.
With you, depending on what the line is, I don't think it's going to be a like you think it's going to be a runaway like not like no decision like Vikings.
I mean, I think it's going to be at least over a touchdown.
Okay, all right. I don't think it's going to be that.
Yeah.
The Lions were up by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Twice against us at home.
You know, I mean, that's the whole thing of what I was just kind of trying to like say is like I don't like to look back. I feel like this team has a lot of potential to grow a lot more. Like we're still under a new coach, under a new scheme, offense and defense. So I feel like there's a lot of changes this year. And I feel like being 5-1 with all of the change that we've had is pretty impressive. Granted, we've gotten lucky with playing the Miami Dolphins third string quarterback. But before Teddy got in, I think that they didn't have anything. So, I mean, you know, we held him in check, which under Zimmer era, we would have let a third string quarterback hang 21 on us.
Probably. Look at you saying, hey, I don't like to look back and looking back.
I'm just saying, like, I think that with all the new regime, I think that there's been a lot of growth with everything going on. Now a bye week, time to kind of like recover. Now it's how can we come out of the bye week against a team that we probably should beat? How do we come out of this bye week and beat them?
Yeah. Who knows? I don't think, I mean, if I'll happily pay $10 for the Vikings to have 12 wins or more. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. And you also think OBJ's going to sign with Minnesota.
Well, I was like, I'd heard it, and I was like, I don't know. I don't really know what to think about it. I think it would be really cool. I've seen that he's been on official visits to Minnesota. So, I mean, like, I don't...
What?
Yeah, he was on an official visit. There's a video of him with, like, a workout bag leaving U.S. Bank Stadium.
Really?
He's got ties to Kwesi from Cleveland, and he's tied to KOC from L.A. So, I mean, it wouldn't be out of the blue. I think there's still, like, a waiting period. So from what I've heard and what I've gathered is he still has, like, a couple weeks of recovery before he's, like, medically cleared. And so technically, it, like, you have to pass a physical in order to sign a contract. And I think, like, at this moment, I don't think he could pass a physical. And so from what I've heard is that basically he wants to come to Minnesota because also of Justin Jefferson. I think he's really been trying to get him to come here. It's going to give us a couple more weeks. So I think he's got to see us win a couple more games and be like, okay, what can I, am I going to be on a team that's 7-1 and I can make this offense better? I think, like, that's a huge part of it. You know what I mean? I think that makes sense.
Thielen's not going to like that.
I mean, KJ's not going to like
it. My God, that's Adam Thielen's music.
Because I truly believe, and it sucks to say this with Thielen on my team, but I truly think that the three wide receivers are KJ, OBJ, and JJ.
Agreed.
Although Thielen still agreed. Gets a lot of the red zone targets, but, you know, move him to tight end.
He always will, probably.
Move Thielen to tight end.
Move him to tight end. Who needs Irv?
Yeah, screw Irv.
Screw him. Mark says no, OBJ will not be in Minnesota. Those are the side bets. You'll probably win one or the other.
I mean, I think it'd be cool. I think if we add OBJ, I mean, I think that gives us a better opportunity to win 12 games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're doubling down. All right, moving to Pigskin. Dude, I hate injuries.
Especially this.
And Breece Hall tore his ACL, and that just stinks.
That stinks, especially because he had just put up like 20 points, and then he busted off that 62-yard touchdown, and you're like, damn, Mark, dude. God.
And you're like, who is this guy?
He is him, you know? He looked good. Yeah, dude. I'm not going to lie. When Mark took him 101, I was like, really? Breece Hall? Like, is he really all that? And he went to the Jets.
Iowa
and
State.
I was like, ugh, you know? I was like, oh, yeah, look at the last running back to come out of Iowa State. David Montgomery. What has he done? Nothing. Breece Hall looks good. So hopefully he can come back. Hopefully he doesn't go to the same surgeon as Sterling Shepard. Maybe he can go meet up with AP or something like that.
Hey.
Also, this next one, the Russ doing high knees on the flight to London. So I actually read, it's confirmed with Russ. They're asking him about it. And he was like, yeah, he did for 2 hours. He did rehab. So he did like high knees. He did stretches, like lunges, all that kind of stuff. It's a Sports Illustrated article. And then he says for the next hour, he slept for the next hour. And then for the fourth hour, he studied film. I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it went. I'm pretty sure. That is insane, dude. Russell Wilson is so extra.
He thinks he's hot shit when he's not.
Also,
so the original tweet was from Bleacher Report, and it said Russell Wilson told reporters he spent 4 hours working out and rehabbing on the Broncos flight to London. He said he was doing high knees in the aisle while his teammates slept.
I also saw,
and then what's even better is
KJ Hamler, this is what I was just
retweeted it. And said, no BS, LOL.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. He,
bro, who is this guy?
I don't know, because people were talking.
You won one Super Bowl.
People were talking about how he like, changes his personality based on, like, who he's with. There was a video of him with, like, some, like, family members, and he was just, like, he was using, like, slang terms, and, like, how he was talking was different. Like, he was like, and then it's like they cut to, like, press conference, and he's like, all professional, and he's just all talking like this. And then you got the Broncos country, let's ride. And then you got that. But someone actually said after this past week, whenever they lost, was the first week he did not end his press conference with "Let's ride." So obviously his catchphrase is going away. Subway has deleted their ads, the Danger Witch ads. Yeah,
really?
Ooh, that's dangerous. Those commercials were so cringe, so cringe.
Yeah, those were not good.
So yeah, Russ,
bruh.
It's crazy the fall off. It's crazy the fall off that he's had, though. Like, he played well.
Yeah, he has not looked good.
He's not looked good, no.
No. No, he does not look good. And then in the Wordle, I have had far too many 6 out of 6s for my liking. But I've gotten a few no yellows, so that's a consolation prize, I suppose. DFT got one in two, and Chris responded with, quote, I remember my first twofer. And then on Sunday, 10/23, 6 governors played Wordle. Ben, DFT, myself, Bort, Mark, and Knut. Knut got it 6 out of 6. Mark got it 3 out of 6. Bort, you got it in 4. I got it in 5. DFT got it in 5. And Ben didn't get it. And of the 29 guesses from the 6 governors, there was only 1 yellow tile revealed. And it was by
Apology Knut. Tracker, 6.
So we had, we could have had 29 guesses and 0 yellows, including having 2 governors that got it in 5, a governor that didn't even get the word.
And one that got it in 6.
Can you apology tracker? Up to six, dude. I'm sorry, but it is. It's just the way it is. And then, dude, did you catch up on the conversation that was had, I think, yesterday about guessing words that you know aren't going to be it for the sake of eliminating letters?
Yeah, I was reading that. I'm more of the one that's if I get most of the, like, 3 letters, I'm going to try and actually guess the word rather than try and eliminate letters. I've had it, however, where I got 1 letter and then it was yellow. And so then I tried guessing another word with that letter in it. It was yellow again. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to try. Like, I'm just going to try and guess words to try and eliminate letters. So I've been like, I've done it, but it's situational for me. Like, if I get 3 of the letters, I'm going to try and put that word together with those 3 letters. And then if I get like 3 greens, I'm not going to try and guess a whole different word to try and eliminate letters. Now, I'm going to try and guess that word, which is a weird philosophy in my opinion, but it
funny you should try to guess the word.
Yeah, like what are we doing here? Look at this idiot trying to guess the word.
You make it seem so nuanced, but it's like, dude, I'm going with, okay, I know that there, even let's say I have two yellows and one green, and I'm like stuck on these two yellows. I'm like, well, damn it, I'm gonna keep these two yellows in here because I know that they're in the word somewhere. I'm not just gonna not guess.
Right. Them. Yeah, I'm not gonna guess a word that does not have two of these yellow letters. No, it's not. Like, that just makes no sense.
Like, I can't bring myself to do that. Even if there was like stats that would show, or odds that would show, hey, your chance of getting it, even if you don't include the two yellows that are in here, goes up by 10% because you're eliminating other ones, I still wouldn't do it.
Right.
Just out of principle, I can't.
No, I gotta try and guess. I gotta try and guess a word that has the letters I have in it. But I do get where it's like, I want to try and eliminate letters. But at the same time, I'm like, why waste a guess?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've also seen X's where I think it was Ben. I'm sorry, Ben, if it wasn't, but I think it was you that you had like four greens and you like made like three guesses with four greens and you didn't get it. I've definitely been there too.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, dang it, dude.
That's the worst. That is the worst.
I know. I'm like sweating when I've guessed like three different things and I've got four greens and I'm like, what the hell is this other green
letter? That was me. That was me with flout. I was like, okay, I had the FLO in two. I had it in two and I was going for three and I was like, it's got to be floor or floss or something like that. And I guessed both of those, wasn't it? I was like, damn it. I was like, okay, now I'm at five guesses and I still am nowhere closer to getting this right because it was just straight.
Yeah, blank. You messaged me. You were like,
and I was stressing.
You're like, the word has to be floss or flood. And then you're like, neither. And then you're like, F.
I just had to laugh.
I was laughing so hard because I got so lucky with my first guess of fruit. And I'm like, what? Like, what a lucky guess.
That was a great guess.
So getting the U, the F, and the T, like, I was like, okay, there's really only a few options. And I didn't necessarily know what the word was, but it sounded more like a word than any of the other combinations.
There you go.
So, yeah. I mean, if I was another governor, I might have guessed like blank to try and eliminate letters.
Who knows?
But then I would have got. Then I would have gotten the L.
For sure, gotten it in three.
Yeah, I would have had the L.
For sure, would have had it in three. I cheated on today's Wordle. I accidentally clicked on Chris's blacked out message.
Did he share the word?
And he shared the word, and I was like, "Oh."
He did that to me though, and then he got it. And
I couldn't.
I posted my screenshot on one of them, and then he, like a minute later, posted one out of one Wordle. I'm like, "You're such a freaking cheater, bro! How did that not get in here? Chris is a freaking cheater in Wordle, man."
Hey, I brought it up.
Oh,
last
you did?
Week.
Okay. All right, I miss
it. I'm pretty sure I brought it up. Hey, I got an anonymous submission, DM submission for a segment on our podcast, and I want you to guess who you think I got this submission from. The submission says, "Please make sure you rip Chris on this week's podcast. He likes to claim my team doesn't score enough points. He barely cracked 100 this week. Thanks."
Okay.
Who's that from?
I think I only need one guess on who this is.
You only get one guess.
DFT.
Ding 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 ding. You got it.
Okay, so actually, let's kind of take it back a little bit because Chris and I were kind of like jabbing each other in the podcast chat. Was that this past week?
That was his past
week. And so
yeah.
we were really going back and forth. And it was funny because we were talking about and what's funny is when I made my comment, I wasn't really even necessarily talking about him. And then he just like went in on me. And I was like, okay, let's do this thing. And so then we started talking about and it's funny that Knut said his team has never scored below 100 because I was like, well, how many teams here have scored below 100? Not me. And because I think he had like a week or something like that of under 100. And his team was actually projected to score under 100 at one point again this week. And then I don't know exactly who it was that ended up scoring a good amount of points for his team. But then he got over 100. So I was like, okay, I can't say anything. ripping DFT for not scoring enough points when he leads you in the playoffs is that's a bold move, especially when he leads you by 4 victory points.
Yeah,
and then his team scores under 100. So what are we doing here? Why are we ripping teams for not scoring points when your team can't even score over 100?
I think there's a, what is it? Take the log out of your own eye before you pick the speck out of your brother's eye or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, if you can't back it up, don't. Don't say anything. So, okay. All right. Chris, need to score up more than 100 points. By a little bit, probably, before you get DFT off your back.
And also, quick.
He's got something to say.
Quick shout out to Ben. I want to see the updated stat after this week as to how many top half scoring times you, Chris, and I, how many times we've had top half scores. Because I think the stats might be a little different after this week. So... let's get that stat from you, Ben.
Yeah. How many times you've won the $10?
No. He posted last week when me and Chris were going back and forth. He posted, Bort has 3 top half scores. Chris has 5 top half scores. Ben had 4 top half scores. And then he put, interesting. So now I'm tied with Ben. I'm tied with Ben for top half scores, I think. Because I don't think he was a top half scorer this week, was he?
Ben? No.
Was he though? Oh shit.
This last
I'm probably
one?
Probably wrong.
117, fuck. He was.
Okay. So now.
Cause it was Jeremy, Sam.
Dang it. Okay. We're just gonna edit that. We're gonna edit that part out. Ben. We're gonna edit that comment out of what I just said to Ben.
I'm not doing any editing. I never edit.
God damn. And I know he listens all the way through too, so he is gonna absolutely flame me for
it. He does.
All right,
just you wait. All right. Any other parting thoughts?
Nope. Knut's apology tracker is up to 6, so just a little thing to add to this, it's an auto +1 if Jeremy ends it this year, and we expect Knut to make all of his apologies on the podcast the week after the championship. So just so everyone's aware, we're gonna get all of our apologies from him then.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for listening.
Have a great week.
Talk to you next week. See ya.